Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Monday, the 3rd of October. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, headquarters of American Free Press, the weekly newspaper from Capitol Hill. The latest issue of American Free Press just rolled into the AFP office today. That's AFP, short for American Free Press. Lots of interesting stuff in there. I encourage you to subscribe if you don't already. The website for American Free Press is, of course, AmericanFreePress.net. AmericanFreePress.net. Well, some big news, at least big news in my little world, and a couple other things I want to go through with you here tonight. And then I'm sure we'll eventually get around to some phone calls. In the meantime, just to start off, I got an interesting email from one of our regular listeners who emails periodically, and he's quite disturbed about the fact that I have been, as he puts it, trying to redeem Daryl Bradford Smith in the minds of the RBN listening community. He goes into some details about some of the things. He's evidently upset because Daryl Bradford Smith has criticized some people he likes, et cetera, et cetera. So I won't even go into the details. Some of these people I don't even know. I don't have time to follow everybody that's on the Internet and who likes Daryl and who doesn't. And this gentleman says, DBS, that's Daryl Bradford Smith, is either conned you, which ought to be an embarrassment, or perhaps there is some other reason for your amazing turnaround on this guy. Let's hear you explain this on your radio show. Well, I think I've already explained it. I think I've thought I had made it pretty clear that I think that after Daryl shed himself of the baggage of Eric Hufschmidt, and that word baggage is really an understatement, I thought that Daryl had done some pretty damn good work. In fact, even before I got this email, I was going to urge listeners to go to, and I still do, by the way, urge listeners to go to what Daryl calls one of his rants, one of his recent rants that appeared on his website at IAmTheWitness.com, and listen to it. It's in two parts. I thought it was pretty good, actually. And in many respects, Daryl expressed a lot of ideas and opinions that I agree with. There may have been a few that I disagree with, but that's the point of it all, folks, that, you know, Daryl certainly has never said that he supports everything that I do or think or say or write or believe, any more than I support everything that Daryl thinks or says or does or writes. And there's always going to be room for disagreement. So Daryl hasn't conned me. I'm only commenting upon some of the things I've heard and seen on Daryl's site, and I think the site has a lot of good stuff up there. And as I say, I probably don't agree with all of it. Maybe only half of it, folks. But I don't have time to sit and analyze every single thing that every single person writes. It must be a luxury to be able to do that. I get so many emails, I get so many phone calls, I get so many letters, I get very delinquent in not answering them. I just found a pile of letters, about 5 or 10 letters, some very nice letters that people wrote to me 2 years ago. I don't even know if they're still at the same addresses, you know what I mean? So I get flooded with this and just don't have time to give the deep attention to detail that I'd like to in so many things. But I wouldn't say I've had an amazing turnaround as far as Daryl Bradford Smith is concerned. As I look back upon it, as my memory of it serves me, much of my criticism really dealt with the work of Eric Hufschmidt, even more so than Daryl Bradford Smith. But we are going to the break, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Let me tell you why I take Beta Prostate. As a man, I know my chances of having an enlarged prostate is pretty good. As a matter of fact, by the age of 40, our prostate can swell to the size of an apricot. And by age 60, our prostate can enlarge to the size of a lemon. Now, your prostate is right next to your bladder, so this is the main reason why men are up all night going to the bathroom. A good night's sleep is important for every man and their wives, since every time you wake up, she wakes up. So what do? You see your doctor for checkups, eat a healthy diet, and take what I take. It's called Beta Prostate, and it's a natural supplement that helps maintain prostate health. Over 2 million bottles of Beta Prostate have been sold. Why? Because it works. Try it free today by calling 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. Don't put this call off until tomorrow. Try it free today. Dial 1-800-362-5848.
Question: is the world getting better or vastly worse?
A world economic collapse could come any day.
Question: are you prepared or are you ignoring the signs? Question: do you have 7 years of healthy food for your family? Answer. Go to survivalistseeds.com now. 12,000 seeds giving you 5,000 pounds of food for just 4 pennies a pound. Without a long-term food solution, your choices are limited. Visit survivalistseeds.com and check out our doomsday water filter system. Without water, you die. It's all online at survivalistseeds.com. Are you prepared? That's survivalistseeds.com. Go to survivalistseeds.com. Do it now or become property of the New World Order.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. Speaking about disagreements and variances, differences of opinion and so forth, you know, I listened to an archive of John Stadtmiller's recent interview with Roger Fredenberg, who's been of some controversy here since he came aboard the network. And, you know, I tell you, I don't think Roger Fredenberg is a Zionist agent. I think the man believes what he believes. I disagree with many of the things that he believes. I mean, he spoke once again about how he thinks John Hagee's a pretty good guy, and I'm paraphrasing. As you know, I consider John Hagee a parasite, a piece of garbage. But that's a difference of opinion. I did have some concerns about the way Mr. Fredenberg lashed out at people who follow the Christian identity faith and implied that anyone who disagreed with him about his views on Israel and Zionism and Jewish power in this country, whatever his views are, I'm really not sure on that, but he implied that everybody out there who disagrees with him somehow is an advocate of the Christian identity faith. I am not. I have many dear friends, longtime friends, who are devout believers in Christian identity. I don't believe in it for a variety of reasons. I think it's historically incorrect. I think it's probably theologically off base. But, you know, and there's a lot of my listeners, and I'm not afraid to say that. I know that a lot of my listeners firmly believe in it, and that's their right to believe in it. I know a lot of my listeners are convinced that the Catholic Church is the tool of Zionism. Well, I I disagree with that, but that's their right to believe it. I mean, you know, it's if we spend all our time on this program arguing with people with whom we disagree for one reason or another, we could never really even get much discussed. I mean, like the other night, David Duke talked about his views of Pastor Jeremiah Wright. Well, I am not as much concerned about the views of Jeremiah Wright as I'm concerned about the Jews of the views of Jeremiah Wright, as I'm concerned about the views of the Jews running John McCain's foreign policy. So, you know, it's we could disagree forever, but I do think Mr. Fredenberg has to realize that not everybody who has criticisms of him because of his position on the USS Liberty or 9-1-1 Truth or whatever they want to disagree with him, he can't paint them all with the brush of Christian identity. So, you know, I think Mr. Fredenberg has a lot to learn, and certainly I think the callers at RBN can take him to task when he needs to be brought to task. I certainly catch hell from callers and from people in the email all the time. Like, I got this email I read here earlier from one of our listeners. He and I often agree. He and I often disagree. But, you know, it's just the way it is. You know, the fact is, though, I will tell you this much. It's interesting. Over the years, the weird emails that I've gotten since I've been broadcasting here, the genuinely weird emails that are somewhat disturbing, indicating a strange mindset, have always come from defenders of Eric Hufschmidt. Not Daryl Bradford Smith, Eric Hufschmidt. And also from a select group of Berlin groupies. In that same realm, some of the more vile emails, although they do cross over into that realm, the Berlin groupies and the Hufschmidt lovers, I do get a lot of, and Mark Glenn has indicated this has been something he's experienced as well. I get a lot of emails filled with bathroom talk from Jews who proudly proclaim themselves to be Jewish and condemn me, and invariably, the talk in these emails is scatological. But for the most part, the critical emails I get are reasonably well, I don't care how well written they are. They're reasonably well argued. Not everybody can write. A lot of people don't like the way I write. They say I'm too verbose and prolix. And, you know, I'll tell you what, a lot of truth to that. I can take 1,500 words that I've written and boil it down to 1,000 and not miss a single fact, not miss a single idea. Anyway, speaking of speech and opinion, down to some substance here. Big victory in Britain, in London, for Frederick Tobin, the purported Holocaust denier who was arrested on a Dubai-bound plane by British police acting on a European Union arrest warrant issued by the German government. Well, British court has ruled that that arrest warrant was flawed and has ordered Frederick Tobin released on bail. They put some restrictions upon his release, but he has found a location in Britain to reside while the Germans have the opportunity to appeal to a higher court. But as I understand it, Frederick and his lawyers and his many supporters around the world are intending to fight this as high as they can fight it. And I tell you what, it's a very good sign that there has been this victory. If you want to write to Frederick Tobin, express your support for him, you can go to his website at adelaideinstitute.org, and that provides an address. Right on the face of the website, it provides an address in Britain where Frederick can be reached at this time. Frederick, of course, is from Australia, but he is in Britain not by choice. Anyway, that website is the adelaideinstitute.org, That's Adelaide, as in the city in Australia, adelaideinstitute.org. I won't even bother spelling it out at the moment, because if you can't spell Adelaide, a little bit of searching on the Internet, you'll find the name of the city, Adelaide in Australia, and just add institute to that, plus .org. But I will spell it for those of you who want me to spell it out. It's A-D-E-L-A-I-D-E. A-D-E-L-A-I-D-E. Adelaide Institute, just like it sounds, .org. I would suggest that even if you can't send a contribution to help pay for Frederick's legal defense, just send him a note and say, good for you, Frederick. I just wrote out a note to Frederick. I'm going to mail it off to him. I can't even say on the air what I wrote in the note, but let's just put it this way. It urges God in heaven to do some terrible things to our traditional enemy, which he will. Which he will. In the meantime, what is absolutely wonderful is that an international group of historians, including at least one Israeli, an international group of historians, and these historians are not quote-unquote Holocaust deniers, folks. These are historians from wide-ranging backgrounds. They have issued what is called, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this right, an appel de blanc. APPEL space DEBLOIS. It says its initiative to work against legislative authorities criminalizing the past, thus putting more and more obstacles in the way of historical research. They say, concerned about the retrospective moralization of history and intellectual censure, we call for the mobilization of European historians and for the wisdom of politicians. History must not be a slave to contemporary politics, nor can it be written on the command of competing memories. In a free state, no political authority has the right to define historical truth and to restrain the freedom of the historian with the threat of penal sanctions. We call on historians to marshal their forces within each of their countries, and for the time being, to individually sign the present appeal to put a stop to this movement toward laws aimed at controlling historical memory. We ask government authorities to recognizing that, while they are responsible for the maintenance of the collective memory, they must not establish, by law and for the past, an official truth whose legal application can carry serious consequences for the profession of history and for intellectual liberty in general. In a democracy, liberty for history is liberty for all. What this is, ladies and gentlemen, is a serious declaration of independence by a broad-ranging international group of historians against the Jewish power interests. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, they are Jewish power interests that have dictated the passage of these Holocaust denial laws and related legislation designed to control discussion of past events in history. That's what it is, folks. Jewish groups were behind it, ladies and gentlemen. Not the New World Order, not the Illuminati, not a German death cult, not the Bush administration. Jewish groups have crafted these laws. They have bragged about it. They have bragged about their institution and implementation. And this is a declaration of independence. No, actually, folks, it's a declaration of war, and by God, you know, it's time that we do declare war on these thought police and let them know that they are not going to be able to continue to imprison or threaten to imprison thousands and thousands of people, as they have done all over the world, for the simple crime of, let's face it, questioning the official story of the Holocaust. You know what I say about the Holocaust? To hell with the Holocaust. I'm tired of hearing about the Holocaust. That's what a legislator in New Zealand said just recently, and oh my God, the Jewish community was upset. To hell with the Holocaust. Tired of the Holocaust, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned. We're going to a break.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them, and what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect, and most of the other herbs in there I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut, it's working on the liver, it's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. I do have something I want to read to you at length here, something I was, oddly enough, working on today when I heard some discussion of the very subject on RBN. I was working on it for American Free Press and needed to finish it up. And I thought, well, this is a perfect thing to read on the show tonight, but I'm going to go to one of our callers before the turn of the half hour because I want to read this thing uninterrupted. We have Brian in Pennsylvania. Haven't heard from Brian in a while. Brian, what's up?
Mike.
Yeah, what's going on, Brian?
Not much. Hey, just the facts, the mail I've been getting, the mail, Mike. It's been polluting my mailbox in southeastern Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
All from the Republican Jewish Coalition.
Okay.
8.5 by 11 glossies. Very, very pretty. First one, all very anti-Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. First one, he's speaking in Germany in front of the crowd last summer. Second one, front big picture of the Wailing Wall, Mike, the Wailing Wall. The third one, the one I got today, he has Reverend Wright, you know, and Obama together. This is all very dangerous stuff here, Mike.
That's very, very interesting. You know, I'm glad you called, Brian, because I've been telling all the Obama supporters I know, and I'll make this formal prediction on the air. This is my last formal prediction about the state of Pennsylvania. Governor Ed Rendell, who is Jewish, who supported Hillary Clinton in the primary, who, and also, by the way, a lot of people don't know this, he's a former Republican from many, many years ago before he got into elective office, and he's also a close friend of Arlen Specter, the Republican Jewish senator from Pennsylvania. My prediction is that Governor Ed Rendell is going to throw the election in Pennsylvania to McCain. Everybody I've talked to from Pennsylvania and all the news reports I'm getting out of Pennsylvania lead me to believe that McCain is much stronger there than a lot of people are being led to believe, particularly Obama supporters. And there's an immense amount of Jewish money working on behalf of McCain in Pennsylvania in the right places.
Well, that is definitely happening here in Heidelberg Township, let me tell you right now, because, it's incredible. You know, they have this wall over there, apartheid state, and yet highlighted terminology like Obama stated, nobody is suffering more than the Palestinian people. That's a horrible thing to say. It's so upside down. Just a bunch of schmada, Mike. Check it out. Schmada.
Well, Brian, I tell you what, you're going to be right there on the scene. You are there in the scene, and you see it happening, and you're confirming to me everything that I've been sensing from the conversations I've been having with people and from what I know about Ed Rendell and from just the bigger picture. I think I have no particular brief for Barack Obama, but I really, really despise John McCain. And I think McCain supporters are going to be pleasantly surprised tomorrow night. And I would even say this much. This is my last formal prediction. I keep saying this is going to be my last formal prediction. I'll make another prediction about Pennsylvania. The early lead, they're going to say Obama's in the lead. As the night drags along, they're going to say the election is getting very close. Then at about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, they're going to say, boy, Pennsylvania's a toss-up here. We may not know till sometime tomorrow which way Pennsylvania's going to go. Now, we're going to find out very shortly, in another 24 hours or so, how close I am on this. But that's my prediction, Brian.
Yeah, well, everything in this stuff is United States and Israel. United States and Israel, like we're one and the same.
Exactly. That's the attitude they have. But in fact, you know, I heard a guy on Roger Fredenberg's show the other night say, we're all Israelis.
Don't even talk to me about that guy. Don't even bring him up to me.
Well, it wasn't Roger who said it. It was one of his guests.
Well, but I've heard Roger say some really outrageous things, and some of his guests too.
Well, that's so, why. That's
don't even
why
talk
callers...
to me about that guy. The shorter he's on RBN, the better.
Well, that's why people need to call Roger and educate him.
Forget it. He's the major.
Actually, I might invite Roger on this show sometime. Maybe I can educate him. Maybe the callers and I can kind of get him on the right track.
Well, that's the only time I'm going to hear his voice again.
All right, listen, Brian, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you.
See you, Mike.
All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to the break here momentarily. But when we come back, I'm going to spend a few minutes reading to you a piece that I wrote for American Free Press this week. It is about JFK and the Federal Reserve, JFK and U.S. notes, the famous JFK greenbacks. As I was working on this piece, trying to edit it down to get it into the editor of American Free Press as soon as possible, I heard John Stadtmuller talking on his program about this famous story about JFK and U.S. notes. Well, John is not the only person who has talked about that on this network. Other hosts have talked about it. Many callers have talked about it. It's been the staple of newsletters and newspaper stories in the alternative movement for years. But folks, tonight I'm going to go into the details and tell you the truth, because you can handle the truth. Fasten your seatbelt for an education in real history.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful, attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased. And I feel so good about it. Okay, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. You know, I've talked about this repeatedly on the show in the context of a lot of these stories that have been around on the long before the internet, published in newsletters, various places. And like I say, just today I heard John talking about it in passing on his program, and I would have liked to have called in but or faxed this to him, but I really didn't have time. I needed to get it ready for the paper. Now, Jim Tucker, the managing editor, he says if you don't get it in on time, it won't get published, and this issue coming up will be for the JFK assassination anniversary. Okay, well, here it goes. The legend of John F. Kennedy defied the Federal Reserve and international bankers who control it by issuing U.S. notes into the American economy in 1963 and thus paid with his life is a myth that won't go away. U.S. notes were issued during the JFK administration, no question about it, but there's much more to the story. First, some personal background. In 1994, my book, Final Judgment, documented for the first time a Kennedy family plan to move against the Fed. This plan was outlined by JFK's father, Ambassador Joe Kennedy, in a private meeting in the 1950s between the ambassador and a personal friend of mine, the late international businessman DeWest Hooker. When discussing the family's plans vis-a-vis the Fed, Kennedy was talking long-term, knowing it would be impossible to dethrone the Fed overnight. That's why the goal of the Kennedy dynasty was to consolidate their power and then move against the global elite. And in fact, Joe Kennedy talked about the Rothschilds as being the controllers of the Fed and the global elite. The Kennedys were astute enough to know that JFK couldn't make any serious moves against the Fed during his first term while facing a tough re-election. Despite these revelations, immediately after the release of final judgment, I received multiple letters saying essentially this: why don't you report that JFK issued an executive order that inserted interest-free money, sometimes called greenbacks, into the American economy, thereby circumventing the unconstitutional international banker-controlled Federal Reserve money monopoly? By doing so, JFK put a real chink in the Fed's armor. This is certainly the primary reason he was assassinated, but your book only mentions the Fed in passing. Even Jim Mars mentions this in his book Crossfire. With these concerns in mind, folks, I'm going to repeat here exactly what Mars did write in his book Crossfire, but it was incorrect, and there's more to that story. He wrote, another overlooked aspect of Kennedy's attempt to reform American society involves money. Kennedy apparently reasoned that by returning to the Constitution, which states that only Congress shall coin and regulate money, the soaring national debt could be reduced by not paying interest to the bankers of the Federal Reserve System who print money and then loan it to the government at interest. This is Jim Mars writing, ladies and gentlemen. He says, Kennedy moved in this area on June 4, 1963, by signing Executive Order 11,110, which called for the issuance of, I guess this is $4,292,000,000, et cetera, dollars, in United States notes through the U.S. Treasury rather than the traditional Federal Reserve System. That same day, Kennedy signed a bill changing the backing of $1 and $2 bills from silver to gold, adding strength to the weakened U.S. currency. A number of Kennedy bills were indeed issued. The author has a $5 bill in his possession with the heading United States note, but they were quickly withdrawn after Kennedy's death. Now, that's what Jim Mars wrote in his book, Crossfire. And over the years since that book, which was a New York Times bestseller, came out, many people have cited Jim Mars' book as the source of this information. And as I say, many people wrote to me saying, well, Jim Mars mentioned it, why didn't you? Well, as I wrote to them, and as I've written to them in so many letters from people who've written to me about it, I get them all the time. I say this, careful readers would find that Mars cited the October 31st, 1988 issue of the Spotlight as the source of his data. However, what Mars apparently didn't know was that in the next issue, our newspaper published a correction, explaining that a junior staffer had found this item in another newsletter. The rumor had been circulating in the populist press for years, and he slipped it into a column containing an assortment of other brief news notes. Those of you who are familiar with the Spotlight and or American Free Press know that on page 2 of those papers, we have a lot of brief news items. Well, as our editor indicated in the next issue, this item had already been investigated by the Spotlight and proven erroneous. But Mars missed the correction, apparently, and he cited the original story in his New York Times bestseller, and as a consequence, thousands, perhaps millions, accepted it as fact, and Mars has been repeatedly cited by others. Now, with the internet and alternative talk radio, this false story has taken on a life of its own. Well, the Spotlight staff conducted an inquiry into the legend and found these facts. At issue was whether that executive order, signed by JFK on June 4, 1963, and supposedly repealed by LBJ within hours of JFK's death, approved more than $4 billion in U.S. notes issued directly by the Treasury in place of Federal Reserve notes. In fact, EO 11,110 dealt with granting the Secretary of the Treasury to the authority to issue rules and regulations pertaining to freeing the Secretary to act without presidential approval on silver bullion sales. As president, JFK revoked these with Executive Order 11,110. Now, this is important too, folks. There's several more important facts here. What's more, it was the Reagan administration, not the Johnson administration, that finally repealed JFK's executive order. And this executive order dealt with silver certificates, not greenbacks. It was Reagan, who signed Executive Order 12,608, which revoked several outdated executive orders, including the one in question. To repeat, the issue of United States notes was not even the subject of JFK's executive order in question. In addition, and this is important, the purported JFK greenbacks were issued pursuant to longstanding federal legislation mandating that a certain number of U.S. notes always be in circulation by the Treasury. It had nothing to do with any executive order or secret special measure by JFK. In other words, the JFK U.S. notes or greenbacks order issued in 1963 would have gone into circulation. Those greenbacks would have gone into circulation no matter who was in the White House. JFK was acting in pursuant to this federal legislation that went back to May 31st, 1878. An act of Congress. So the issuance of U.S. notes by JFK was done in pursuance of a long law on the books. Now, one last important item. In the most recent edition of Final Judgment is a photograph of a 1966 United States note. Three years after JFK died during the Lyndon Johnson administration. It is genuine. It's in the possession of a veteran critic of the Federal Reserve, Tony Blizzard. Now, I got a lot of letters, or I should say I got one letter from someone saying, well, it was obviously a forgery. But I did a little bit of checking, and it turns out that dealers in U.S. currency who can verify the authenticity of these notes, even to this day, are selling 1966 post JFK era U.S. notes to collectors on the internet. So the fact that this 1966 U.S. note exists is proof that it is a myth that no U.S. notes were issued after 1963, that LBJ withdrew U.S. notes from circulation upon assuming the presidency. And of course, as we've already pointed out, it was not even Lyndon Johnson who canceled that executive order. It was Ronald Reagan who did it many, many years later. Now, those are the facts. Those kind of facts, you know, rock the world of a lot of people who truly want to believe this. And, you know, and I hear people out there saying, oh, well, Piper has a vested interest in not talking about the Federal Reserve because he claims the Mossad did it. Well, folks, I'll tell you what. The same people who control the Mossad control the Federal Reserve and the U.S. media. So it's a minor degree of variation. It's a variation on a theme. And as I documented from a firsthand story by my friend DeWes Tucker, the Kennedy family were very much in tune to the issue of the Federal Reserve. But there are those who will insist upon believing that that U.S. or that executive order dealt with U.S. notes. Now, what's interesting is that since I have written about this and other people have looked into it as well, I've seen now a few people very creatively shift the story and say, well, actually, yeah, it was dealing with silver certificates, and this was, again, really a trick by JFK to undermine the Federal Reserve. No. This was not a trick by JFK. This was not some secret measure. This was a measure that was mandated by federal law going back to 1878. Now there's a lot of people out there who are now saying, aha, Piper is covering up for the Rockefellers and for the Rothschilds and the international Jewish banks by trying to say that JFK wasn't fighting the Federal Reserve. Well, Piper is not covering up for them. Number two, Piper has been criticizing the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and organized Jewry and the Federal Reserve for years and writing about it. In fact, Piper wrote most of the material on the Federal Reserve that appears in the American Free Press supplement on the Federal Reserve. In fact, Piper wrote an introduction to a book published by the Spotlight years ago, a book by former Congressman Jerry Voorhees, who was one of the early congressional critics of the Federal Reserve. So no, Piper is not covering up for the Federal Reserve. Piper's getting the facts out there so that we know what is true and what isn't. That's what Piper is doing. But you know what? There's a lot of people who are going to insist that it's not true. But that's their right. As I say, that is their right. Anyway, as I say, just a coincidence that I just happen to be putting this thing together, very boiled down revision, not a revision, but a boiled down, shortened, abbreviated, edited version, edited for length version of what I wrote in Final Judgment based upon earlier research by a number of people for the Spotlight. So those are the facts about JFK and the Federal Reserve, whether you like them or not, but I remain confident that you can handle the truth. That having been said, I'm going to go back to the callers here, and we have Dave in Massachusetts. Dave, come on up.
Oh, hello, Michael.
How you doing, Dave?
Hey, Michael, you know, I have your book, The Judas Goats, but I haven't read it yet. I just got it not too long ago. But, hey, you know, I've been having, you know, it's so ironic and so funny, Michael. You know, I've been thinking about a couple of the candidates, and but you know, we all should know at this point that these politicians will tell us anything. They're political. They'll tell their constituents anything that they think they want, their constituents want to hear.
True enough.
You know, there's two candidates that are running in this election, and they're almost spitting images of each other. Provided you forget about their rhetoric, disregard what's coming out of their forked tongues. Disregard their rhetoric and just look at their actions and just look at who they have supported politically and who they have supported religiously. And I'll tell you the two candidates that are virtually carbon copies of each other in terms of the religious figures and the political figures that they've supported in their lifetime and everything is Sarah Palin and Chuck Baldwin.
That's very provocative, and I'm sorry to say I think you're absolutely right.
I know I'm right, Michael, because I've been checking into this Chuck Baldwin. Everything that Sarah Palin stands for, he stands for. If you go by his actions, Jerry Falwell, the moral majority, the religious right, he did everything in his power to get the Bushes elected and reelected. I am so suspicious, Michael, of the whole thing. It almost starts making me suspicious even of you know, I'm not jumping to any conclusions, but I'm just being honest. I'm even suspicious of Ron Paul. I mean, he promised he'd never drop out so long as people supported him. At the height of his support, he dropped out.
Well, you know, my concern about Ron Paul is that let me say this to the Ron Paul supporters out there who, for what reason they are, which is beyond my comprehension, there are a lot of Ron Paul supporters who are going to vote for John McCain. For one reason or another. But I'm here to tell those people that if John McCain is elected president, that means he's going to be in control of the Republican National Committee. And if Ron Paul supporters weren't happy with what the Republican National Committee did to Ron Paul and his supporters during this election season, they're going to be in for a toasty surprise when they see what the Republican National Committee under a McCain-Palin regime does to prevent them from getting Ron Paul-style candidates nominated in Republican ranks.
Yeah.
They are going to be burned and burned badly. So if I were a Ron Paul supporter, I would be praying that Barack Obama wrecks the Republican Party this year and makes it possible, gives an outside possibility, for Ron Paul types to come in there and try to pick up the pieces, although I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, but nonetheless, I guarantee you there's going to be a lot of Ron Paul supporters who will vote for John McCain, not realizing the damage they've done. I mean, you know, Ron Paul says a lot of good things, but I think if he intends to take this movement any further, he's going to have to get a little tougher than he has been.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Dave, you know, I'll tell you what, we are going to the break here. If you want to hang on, please do.
Hang on, yeah.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Let me tell you why I take Beta Prostate. As a man, I know my chances of having an enlarged prostate is pretty good. As a matter of fact, by the age of 40, our prostate can swell to the size of an apricot. And by age 60, our prostate can enlarge to the size of a lemon. Now, your prostate is right next to your bladder, so this is the main reason why men are up all night going to the bathroom. A good night's sleep is important for every man and their wives, since every time you wake up, she wakes up. So what do? You see your doctor for checkups, eat a healthy diet, and take what I take. It's called Beta Prostate, and it's a natural supplement that helps maintain prostate health. Over 2 million bottles of Beta Prostate have been sold. Why? Because it works. Try it free today by calling 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. Don't put this call off until tomorrow. Try it free today. Dial 1-800-362-5848.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
Well, no, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Welcome back. This is Michael Collins Pfeiffer, hoping to shatter illusion with reality, although sometimes I feel I fail badly, but that's my problem, not yours. Anyway, we have Dave aboard here with us. Dave, I think you're absolutely right about Chuck Baldwin. I'm not questioning his integrity, nor do I think you are, but I think we kind of agree that when all is said and done, he is guided by a theological viewpoint which is, if not precisely the same as that of Sarah Palin, it's certainly in the same realm, and that's not good.
No. In fact, Michael, I'll go so far as to say this, Michael. I think that Chuck Baldwin has no place in the White House. I believe that he doesn't even have any place in a white church.
Okay. I don't know exactly what you mean, so explain that.
Well, he said, and I can. I don't have it in front of me now, but just recently he said that he yet believes. He believes that God will yet fulfill the Davidic covenant with the nation of Israel.
Oh, exactly. Okay, you're right. You're right. I agree with you. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep, Jesus completely fulfilled that Davidic covenant. In fact, that's specifically when Jesus, just before he died, when he said it is finished, it is fulfilled, he was talking about the Davidic covenant. That's exactly what he was talking about. That's blasphemy that sometime in the future the Davidic covenant's going to be fulfilled in Israel. You know, so that's why I say not only doesn't he belong in the White House, he doesn't even belong leading a white church in a white.
Well,
church.
You know, he is not going to get elected president. You know, I'm wondering now. You know, obviously, we're going to see something happen in this country tomorrow. I presume it will be an election.
I'm really radical, Michael. I want to break the glass ceiling. I want to break the glass ceiling for African Americans, and I want to break the glass ceiling for women. And I'm going to vote for Cynthia McKinney. You know, that's how radical I am.
Well, I tell you, if I were voting, I would stand there in the polling place, I think, and decide whether I was going to go for Cynthia McKinney or for Ralph Nader when all was said and done. Knowing that the vote really won't make any difference, but I do know one thing, that we need a wave of the future in this country that is going to break the back of Jewish political and economic power in this country, because until, as I've said it before, until politicians start addressing this issue, they might as well not come to me asking for their vote, because I'm tired of the politicians that play the same old game in one form or another.
Yeah, you know, Michael, if there's a litmus test or any barometer, if there's one candidate that's running that the Jews roundly detest and hate, of course, it is Cynthia McKinney too. She's despised and hated by our enemies. So that, to me, that speaks volumes right there.
Yeah, it does, and I mean, they drove her out of office twice. I mean, you know, that says a lot, you know? Like I always say, if the big boys don't like you, there must be something good about you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Michael.
All right, Dave, thanks for your call. We had quite a few callers who came in at the last minute here while Dave and I were wrapping up, but you're welcome to call in here some other evening. I'm not sure if I'm broadcasting live tomorrow night at this point, but if not, I will definitely see you here on Wednesday. I suspect a lot of people will want to be watching the elections, and I will be too. So likelihood, folks, is I won't be here. You'll have a rebroadcast, but we'll be here on Wednesday night, God willing. Then we can talk about what did or didn't happen. Or what's gonna happen. That's even scarier.
In Matthew 24.